Tzav Azira is Os Yud Ches. Im lo ta'am ta'od as ta'ama shel tefila, kishehi nekiya min bakasha tzarchecha. Im lo b'chisa od b'sapercha shivchei Hashem, v'lo nispalta kol kach at shetargish, shebedabercha min Hashem ve'el Hashem, Dochekes v'yotza derech libcha u'mochacha giloi elokus she'ein ata masiga v'yoda. Im lo ta'amta, have you not experienced, have you not tasted the taste of a tefillah when a person davens in a way that is nikiya, which is freed from any personal desires without ulterior motives? Have you never cried before Hashem as you sing the praises to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being nispal over the fact that you're talking about God, you're talking with God, you're talking to God, to the point that he says again in the third line, "Dochekes v'yotza derech libcha u'mocha gilei elokus," that emerging from your heart and your mind, squeezed out of your heart and your mind, is this unbelievable revelation of Hashem, like nothing you've ever experienced before. Now he says, anyone who has experienced, he's simultaneously asking us, have we not experienced this? And hopefully we're able to answer, we have experienced this. We do know what that experience is. So he says, if you haven't, or if you have, Oz b'chiyosecha, in the fourth line, Oz b'chiyosecha she'ata bocha ve'is bakasha tzarechecha bilvad, then the tears that you cry when you sometimes ask Hashem for your needs, not the tefillah where you just dissolve into Hashem. Again, he starts off by saying, anyone who's ever tasted, anyone who's ever experienced a tefillah, where you have the taste of the pleasure of being freed of any of your ulterior motives, any of your personal desires, crying out to Hashem simply because you love Hashem and you want to sing His praise, not because, as one of my rabbis, Rabbi Shmuel Braun, likes to say, you could view Hashem as a giant ATM machine in the sky, you're trying to get something out of Him. Right? So, not that. If you've ever davened, if you've ever spoken to Hashem, to the point that you feel this rush of elukus pouring out of you. So he says, so then when you cry over something that you need, or you cry over something of a less elevated fashion, niros bashamayim kamase yaldus. It seems so childish in the heavens compared to those times when you really spoke to Hashem. When you were complaining to Hashem about getting a job and Hashem was laughing at you and said, don't worry, I got you covered, I'll get you a different job. Or I'll get you a date with a different girl. I'll get you a different thing. Right? When we get caught up in the ego and the self, so in Shemayim they laugh at us, they say, that's not the real thing. And we know, we've seen you talk to, Hashem says, I've seen you talk to me in a real way. This is child's play. This is Maisa Yaldus compared to the real conversations we've had. You're caught up in the world. You're caught up in yourself. Habochu mavake shashuim ve'agozim. You're asking for toys. And you're asking for agozim. For candy, right? Nuts. But they didn't have sour sticks back then. Agozim. That's what it says. You keep the kids awake at the Seder by giving out, you know, walnuts. Okay, so nowadays, I don't know if that's going to keep the kids awake. Right? You have to give out whatever the candy of the day is. But it's basically, you're like a child crying over a cookie. If you've experienced what real tefillah, what real communication, what real singing to Hashem is, then any lower form that involves yourself is like a child crying over a cookie. Asei zos eifam, azov alsha alshtayim es haolam ushaona. And therefore, what I recommend to you is to leave the world ushaona and the tumult. Thank you so much. And the tumult of the world, the noise of the world. Shaon, the ruckus of the world. For an hour or two. Sha'a could also mean a moment or two. Don't feel the pressure that you have to do this for an hour to make it worthwhile. Armumias chachmasa uretzona asherbacha. To leave behind, you know, you're a smart guy, you're a college-educated young man. So leave that behind, the Pizasari says. Leave all of the armumias chachmasa, the cleverness of the wisdom of this world. And all of the desires of this world, asher b'cha, which are found within you, v'yisbodeid yechidi. And become more simple, and yisbodeid yechidi. And meditate alone. Sit in solitude. V'im efshir l'cha lecha ya'ara, if you're able to. Go out to the forest. Find somewhere outdoors, secluded, quiet, This is such a beautiful line. And see yourself in that moment. Try to see yourself not as how you're defining yourself based on your major, your career choice, or your community, or the type of shirt or pants you're wearing. Try to just dissolve yourself into the Bria. Try to be one with creation. Try to see yourself as a simple creation who is amongst the created beings of Hashem's world. Be like a blade of grass. Be like a bird. Be like a cloud. Be like a tree. V'yached am Hashemesh v'yareach. Become one, he says, with the sun and the moon. Hatziporim v'chol atzeyar l'shir lifnei Hashem. Sing before Hashem. Like a bird. Or like a tree rustling in the wind. Basa legalus l'malias kol ha'olam igdulas yisbach. Become one with the world. Right? Allow yourself to be filled by the world, and allow yourself to just expand outward into the world, and just become one with the Bria, and serve Hashem in that way, with simplicity, with wholesomeness. Hachel na lamashal, he says in the next paragraph, begin, for example, in the following way: lahachriz lahem ulchol olam esadon olam, as you did nefesh, v'sira imlo sisparitz nafshecha b'sifarta hachutza lekras malka v'kona. Allow yourself to just, again, sing the words of Adon Olam. You did nefesh, standing amongst the trees. And he says, you'll see for yourself. See how your soul is tisparitz, comes bursting forth in all of its splendor and all of its beauty. Hachutzar, expressing itself, flowing outwards. Likras malka v'kona, rushing outwards to greet, to have an encounter with what? With its king and its creator. Let the soul release itself. Stop trying to play the whatever role you're trying to play as a certain person who's, you know, showing up to an interview, looking a certain way, trying to talk a certain language to get a certain job. That's all chitzonius. So strip off that chitzonius and be simple. Be like a blade of grass. Be like the sun and the moon and the stars, or a bird. And just sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. And notice as your soul leaves its body, so to speak, it expands itself outward towards its creator. Shiskariv kiviyachol eilecha, that Hashem kiviyachol is drawing close to you as you draw close to Him. Lakshiv lekol shirascha. Listen, Hashem is, so to speak, bending down from the heavens to listen to your song. Ve'esha mala tukad bekirbucha, and a divine flame, a heavenly flame, will be kindled inside of you. Asher rak shetef shel demaos yatzilucha ve'yargiucha. And only the tears that you're crying, as you allow your soul to flow free, right? Only the tears that are pouring out of you will be able to extinguish that fire that's raging inside of you, that fire of closeness to Hashem. Now, it's a very poetic and very beautiful description. For some of us, we might feel this is a very high level, but don't be caught up on the fact that, well, I may not feel like I'm on fire, and I may not be able to extinguish it with my tears, because I don't know how to feel that heated for Hashem, and I don't know how to cool myself down, right, and release tears in that way for Hashem. But the idea of being able to strip away some of the anochias, to be able to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which we'll hear in Shul this Shabbos, to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk to us and say that I am Anochi, and I want you to dissolve into the bigger I, as opposed to being the little version of me, right, that you sometimes become, and to be able to just talk to me, to be able to have an honest conversation with me, to be able to sing a song alone with me, not because anyone's saying, wow, you have a great voice, right? To just be wholesome with the Bria. And he says, if you can do this, look what he writes, the last two lines, Oz tavinas bakashas Moshe Rabbeinu, then you'll understand what Moshe davened. When Moshe Rabbeinu davened, samach l'ptiraso, l'hiyos ka'of hashamayim. When Moshe davened at the end of his life, I want to be simple like a bird. I want to just be a bird. And I'll show you the Medrash in a second. It's a Medrash in Devarim Rabbah. But with this idea that the PSS Rebbe is presenting, he says you'll have a better understanding of what Moshe was really asking for in that Medrash, Devarim Rabbah, Parshiyot Aleph. L'saper v'lashir shiras Hashem lifnei Hashem hishtokik. To enter into some type of elevated, holy silence and simplicity, where again, that all the diburim and all of the thoughts of man, of a basar adam, was the ability to think, dissipate, and I'm able to just flap my wings for God, and that's infinitely more real than anything that I, you know, said out of a sitter, or any idea that I thought about because I was trying to be a certain something. Okay? Adkan Osir Ches. Now I want to do Os Memches also, but I think we should, let's pass this out first. Let's start with a little, we'll see how this is going to work. We don't, I'm trying to be sensitive to the time, but I'm also trying to do what the Rebbe's telling us to do, which is to just slow down and relax. So if we have to change the schedule, if we can't learn Megillah today, we won't learn Megillah. We'll see, we'll figure it out. There's a multi-volume work called Siach Sarfei Kodesh. Okay, there's two sets of Sfarim by that name. One is a work that's malakit from different tzaddikim, Torahs, and stories, from all sorts of Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. There's another sefer also called Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is entirely focused on Breslov. So in the Siach Sarfei Kodesh, the Breslov set, in the second volume, in Os Kuf Chaf, in source number one, it tells how Rabbi Nachman one time was trying to teach Jews how to be good Jews. So they went and they did all the things that they thought Rabbi Nachman would want them to do to be good Jews. And they came to Rabbi Nachman and they said, Rabbi, did we achieve? Are we good Jews now? Are we kosher Jews now? Right? They had worked on themselves with their minds intact. They had consciously worked on themselves. So they asked Rabbi Nachman, have we achieved what Rebbe has wanted us to achieve? Have we become the type of Jews that you want us to be? And look what Rabbi Nachman said. Pam Amar Rabbeinu Kimisoni. Af Shehin Chamanashim Ksheirim. Yes, of course, you're good Jews, you're lovely Jews. Avalo Lizos Hiskavanti. But that's not what I had in mind. When I asked you to become a certain type of Jew, and you said, oh, Rebbe, we're going to become the good Jews you want us to be. And you went out and did all these things that you thought, you know, do more this and do more that would make you a good Jew. And that's all true. He says, yes, you're very good Jews. But that's not the kavanah I had in mind. That wasn't the unique type of avodas Hashem I was trying to relate to you. His kavanti shiuli anashim ke'elu. I want you to be the following types of people. Shinhamu la Hashem yisbarach leilos shleimim kechayos bayar. I want you to be like the animals in the wild. You know, like a wolf out in the wild, or a fox howling away in the forest. That's what I wanted you to be. I didn't want you to be a certain type of Jew who's part of a certain type of society, who is acting a certain way because of his surroundings. And that's all holy. He says that's very good. He says, but I want you to be, again, Sheyinhamu LaHashem Yisbarach Leilos Shleimim, to be able to cry out, to howl, literally, to howl to Hashem for full nights, kechayos bayar, like the animal that's howling beneath the moon on a starry night in some forest. That's what I really want you to be. What's Rabbi Nachman talking about? Rabbi Nachman is saying there's a certain type of avodas Hashem that can only be achieved, and a certain lofty level of avodas Hashem that can only be achieved with the utmost simplicity. In Sichos Aran, Rabbi Nachman, in source number two, says Kvar Mevar Kamapam, we've explained several times. She'ein Srichim Shum Chachmos Ba'avodas Habor Yisbarach Rak Tmimus Upshitus Ve'emuna. To be a good Jew, you don't need to be a Chacham. You don't need to be creative or clever. You could be simple, Sheva simple. You could be literally the simplest Jew in the world. And with Tmimus, and with Pshitus, and with Emuna, you could be infinitely more connected to Hashem with wholesomeness, with simplicity, and with faith than a person who's a big Chacham and has spent his whole life involved in Torah and Mitzvos, but is in no way connected to a Kadosh Baruch. Rabbi Nachman said, Pshitus, simplicity, is the highest thing of all. So does this mean that I should not strive to learn Shas? No, that's not what it means. Rabbi Nachman was actually very demanding of his Talmidim in terms of achieving and learning in Gemara, in Shulchan Aruch, right? But there has to be a foundation that's Gevoah min HaKol, that's really the highest of all, to be Pashut. Because it's very easy to lose myself in the outer trappings of Torah, which is Torah itself. That's a scary idea. This could be used in such an important way, and without it you could be, in a certain sense, a failure in your avodas Hashem. You could take this idea and run with it in a terrible way, and there are plenty of people who do, to use this as Morah Heter, to not do anything, to not be a driven person. Rabbi Nachman was unbelievably demanding of himself. So to take this piece and to make Rabbi Nachman into the chillest Rebbe who ever lived is a complete perversion of what Rabbi Nachman said. That's not what he means by Tmimus and Pshitas and Emunah. Emunah Pshuta doesn't mean be an idiot and never learn. right, and just say, I have emunah. That's also not going to work. There has to be a balance of understanding what Rabbi Nachman is saying. So he says to his Talmid, yes, you're anashim ksherim from all the things you're doing. But have you ever spent the night howling in the forest? Again, like an animal in the wild? Can you do that? Or are you too self-conscious to let yourself just be with Hashem? Is your spiritual self, is your spiritual identity entirely fashioned by people around you? By rebellion, who you're trying to act a certain way in front of, or friends, right? Or fear of being judged, or wanting to be judged a certain way. Says Rabbi Nachum, Pshitus is gavoh min hakol. Ki Hashem yisbarach baruch hu, who bevadai gavoh min hakol. Hashem is the highest thing of all, obviously. Hu yisbarach hu pashut betachlos hapshitus. And Hashem is the simplest thing of all. So therefore, if you want to be like Hashem, you have to be pashut. Now Hashem is pashut in the most complex way. So you too should be pashut in the most complex way. Rabbi Nachman was pashut in the most complex way. He was super pashut. Rabbi Nachman is super complicated. So figure out what that means. Try to figure out what that means. How do we do this? The PSS, the Rebbe says, the first thing you need to do to be able to identify yourself is to get away from all the noise of the world. To spend time in Hispodus. Hispodus, he says, ideally can be going out into a quiet forest, but it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. Don't think that Hispodus is something that was created by, right, and only created for Breslov or Hasidim. If you don't want to call yourself a Breslov or Chassid, you can still do Hispodus. If you don't want to do it in the forest, you can still do Hispodus. If you don't want to do an hour a day, and you want to do 10 seconds a day, you can still do Hispodus. Breslovers love quoting the Chavetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha, in source number 3. Because the Chavetz Chaim wrote in the Bir Halacha, that's his commentary alongside the Mishnah Berurah, he quotes from the Arizal. He quotes from the Arizal, Halacha Lamaisa, in a certain sense, that even though he's writing this in Hilchos Tanius, yes, fasting is a Chashuv Inyan, and fasting has a place, but a person who's a Ben Torah shouldn't be fasting. He should be learning Torah. He should be focusing on his learning Torah. However, you can get so caught up in learning Torah that you never stop to make a cheshbon nefesh. You never stop to actually talk to Hashem. You never just say, hello, Rabbanu Shalom, I hope you have a nice day. Which sounds silly at first, but is actually maybe more meaningful than the shachris you davened this morning. So look what he writes, where it's bolted. Ach yom echad min ha-shvua yisrachik mi b'nei adam. He's quoting from the Arizal. The Chavetz Chaim quotes in Hilchos Tanius in Tavkuf Ayin Aleph, b'shem the Arizal, that one day a week you should detach from people. This is a halacha, bir halacha. Chavetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah. V'yizbodid beino levein kono. One day a week should be a day off from the world. Now again, it doesn't need to be a full day off from the world. It could be a couple of minutes. Beino lebein kono, just you and your Creator. V'yizkasher machshavto bo. Ki'ilu kvar omid lefanav biyom adin. And stand before Hashem, like we learned yesterday, like a person who's standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the day of Din, to live in the presence of Hashem. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi tamid. To just be there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in that way, he says, V'yadaber lekel yisbarach, to speak to Hashem, kasher yadaber ha'eved al rabo uben el aviv. And to just talk to Hashem, the way a servant talks to his master. Now that's a little more formal. But again, it's formal and it's still alone. A formal private conversation with the king, even if your heart is racing because you're standing in front of the king, is still different than standing at the king's public address where there's a million people gathered in the public square. Your heart's also racing. But it's different than when you're having a conversation alone, yechidus, with the king, even if it's mitoch yira, mitoch awe. It's from a place of awe. Right? Even trepidation. And even more so, uben alaviv. To develop a language of love, to talk to Hashem. We're going to learn a piece in the Aruch Chaim tomorrow about that balance, which we've learned about. Moshe Rabbeinu crossed the line, if you remember, in Parshas Vayera, the end of Shemos. Hashem was upset that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke so strongly to him. He was a little too comfortable with Hashem. We'll talk again tomorrow about that balance of Ava, about that balance of Ava and Yira that a Ben Torah, that a person who's connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu has to have. Okay, Jojo, what do you want to say?
So, doesn't seem to be, what Rabbi Nachman is saying to what the PSS are saying doesn't seem to be so similar. Because it seems like Rabbi Nachman is trying to say that you should sort of go to Hashem and do cry out to Hashem, and that's a good thing.
That's what the Pizetz are saying. Stop talking to Hashem about the job you want to get. Stop talking to him about the fact that you're not married. He knows that. Again, that's tefillah. We do that all the time. We should do that all the time. But he's saying, get away. It's exactly what Rabbi Nachman's saying. Get away from that and just go howl like a wolf in the forest to Hashem. Right? Get away. If you've tasted what real talking to Hashem is, says the Pizetzner, then everything else is like a child crying to a parent that I want ice cream. It's childish. Right? And Rabbi Nachman's saying the same thing. Be pasha. Stop being so complicated. Stop being so self-absorbed. And just dissolve into the world.
So then what he's saying for crying out.
They're both talking about crying out. If you've ever cried out, there's opening lines. Second line. If you've never cried out, right, from the depths of your heart, when you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not when you're asking for your needs. So they're both talking about just that raw cry, just being real with Hashem.
So crying out.
But again, none of this has to even do with crying. It doesn't have to do with crying, it doesn't have to do with talking. It has to do with retreating from the noise of the world. To be able to just be alone with Hashem. Because you can spend your whole life defining yourself based on your surroundings. You can spend your whole life negotiating with the ATM machine in the sky, and you never make Hashem anything of a relationship that He wants it to be. Yes.
Can
you? Sure. You should. There's a Hasidic work called Parashas Gedulas Mordechai. And he says in there, he brings a remez, there's an apostle that Dafka Shabbos is the best day of the week to do his Bordas. Because again, Shabbos itself gets you in position to do so. The world is quieter on Shabbos. Your world is quieter, hopefully, on Shabbos. So it's much easier for you, when your phone is off, right, to actually tap into this elevated silence, and to just be quieter with Hashem, more alone with Hashem. Okay? Now again, they're both talking about, Rabbi Nachman and the Pizetzner are both talking about forgetting oneself, negating oneself. Okay? So I want to learn together a piece, a very famous idea. Different tzaddikim bring it, but I think this piece expresses it well. The Ma'or of Hashemesh in Parshas Bo, commenting on a pasuk in Parshas Ve'eschan. What's the pasuk? Again, different tzaddikim say it. The Kubriner has this var. They bring it b'shem the Baal Shem Tov. Some svarim bring it b'shem the Baal Shem Tov. But Ma'or of Hashemesh brings it nicely. He says on the pasuk says in source number 4, Anochi Omer Ben Hashem Uveinechem. Moshe says, I was standing between you and Hashem to relate to you the Dvar Hashem. Because you were scared to go up the mountain, so I became the intermediary to convey to you Hashem's message. Okay? Pasuk in Veschanan, where Moshe recounts Kabbalah Satorah. Says the Ma'or V'Shemesh, source number 5. Vishamati me'arav ha-magid ha-kadosh, Rabbi Chil Michal, the Magid of Zlotchev. What's the pshat in this pasuk? Anochi omid ben Hashem uveinechem. Pasha pshat. Moshe says, I was the intermediary standing between you, Klal Yisrael, and God. But the Svarim HaKadoshim learn it in the following way. The Zlotchev Magid, Sechus Yogen Aleinu, learns it the following way. Anochi omid ben Hashem uveinechem. That sense of anochius, of self, can become the biggest impediment, the biggest blockage between what? Between you and Hashem. What do you mean? I'm working on myself, Hashem. Hashem says, whoa, calm down. You're working on yourself because you've got a certain image of what you're supposed to be in yeshiva, and that might be who you are, and that might not be who you are. So let's slow down a second. Let's take the self, the need to become a self, out of the picture, and try to just be with me like a bird, Hashem says. A little less fancy. Be with me like a blade of grass. Where it's bolded, if you try to be a certain something, you put up a wall between you and Hashem. That's the Anochi Omeid Ben Hashem Uveinecha. Okay. And he says, when a person becomes such a thing, look at the end, three lines from the end, of Anochi. If a person walks around saying Anochi, a person says Ani, I this, I that, the famous letter that someone sent to the Baba Tzurebi, and he circled all the I's. Right? You become very self-absorbed. There's a great story. The Baal HaTanya The Baal HaTanya once came to the Maggid of Mezrich. And he knocked on the door, and the Maggid of Mezrich said, "Who is it?" So he said, "Ich, it's I." He figured he'd recognize his voice. It's Talmud. Shner Zalman of Liadi. So he says, "Ich, ich." So he says, "Who?" He says, "Ich, it's I, it's me." So he says, "Who? Who is it?" So he says, "It's Shner Zalman." "Oh, Shner Zalman, why didn't you say who it was?" He says, "You know, maybe didn't recognize your voice, but it's so strange." So the Maggid says, I'm happy you showed up. You're right on time. I need to send you on a mission." He says, there's a Sudas Bris Mila in a neighboring town. I was invited to be there. I can't be there. I want you to go as my shliach." So he sends him to who knows where. And he's sitting at this bris, the Sudas Bris. And no one knows who he is. And the Baal Tanya is just sitting there. And all of a sudden, at the end of the meal, whoever was catering, one of the caterers came out of the, or waiter came out of the kitchen and said, "Listen," said, "someone's, some of the silverware is missing. Did someone here, you know, hoping maybe someone will confess, did give them a chance to give it, did someone here maybe accidentally put a silver knife in their pocket or something like that?" Right? So, no one, okay, no one, you know. So they figure, there must be a ganav here. So everyone starts looking at the Baal HaTanya. No one knows who he is. This is a random guy who showed up at the Suda. So does anyone know who this guy is? No. So the caterer goes over to him and says, "You know, can I see what's in your pockets? I want to check you." Right? No one knows who you are. Everyone else here is part of the mishpacha. No one else would steal. So he says, I want to check your clothing for the missing silverware." So he says, "We're concerned that you're a ganav." So he says, "Ich bin nicht a ganav. I'm not a ganav. I'm not going to let you frisk me." So he says, "You're the only one here." So he says, "Ich bin nicht, he keeps saying, "Ich bin nicht a ganav. Ich bin nicht a ganav." Finally, one of the other waiters comes out of the kitchen and says, "Oh, we found it. We're so sorry. Okay." He's all embarrassed. Comes back to the Maggid. He's totally distraught. He says, "Rebbe, you sent me to this thing. I was trying to represent you there, and no one knew who I was. It was very uncomfortable. Then I got accused." He says, "What was that?" So he says, "Remember when you showed up at my door and you knocked on the door and I said, 'Who is it?' And every time I asked you who it is, you said, 'Ich, I.' And I asked you again, 'Who is it?' You said, 'I.' And you said again, 'Who is it?' 'I.' So I said, I wanted to teach you that for every time a Jew says 'I,' every time a person says 'me,' a person has to say, for every 'ich,' a person has to say, 'Ich bin nicht,' 'I am not.' So for connected the three times you said 'Ich, ich, ich,' you have to say 'Ich bin nicht, ich bin nicht, ich bin nicht. Ich bin nicht again." Says the Mohr B'Shemesh, if a person walks around saying Anochi, a person says I, what's the first word we ever heard from Hashem in this week's Parsha? Isn't it amazing how the pieces fall out at the Parsha? I always find that so amazing. Hashem's so good to us. Like, why are we doing this piece? Why didn't we do this piece like 2 weeks ago? Why did we start learning Tzavazir's when we did? It's Parsha's Yisro. Because Hashem runs the world, that's why. Haynu shemachzik asma l'shum ben ma'ilo. When a person thinks he's something, umargil b'zen, he gets used to saying I this, I that, me this, me that. Umiskaber v'holich b'midazu hu nifrad mei Hashem yisbarach. The more you're self-aware, the more you separate yourself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you can't go out and howl in the night to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you think that's silly or weird, right? Then you're too obsessed with yourself. If the thought of going out to a forest, right, and just crying out to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, just talking to Hashem, not about anything, just talking to him like a friend, is weird to you, then we're too self-absorbed. Concludes the Mor of Hashem, you could even become a heretic in this way. You could become your own God. Now I want to read the Pasuk, because I think we can add a little Hosafa to the Pasuk. Let's go back to the Pasuk now in source number 4. I only realized this morning, but I want to share this with you. Look at the Pasuk. What's the end of the Pasuk? Anochi Omer ben Hashem uveneichem. Right? Again, Bederach Remez, that sense of self, of being obsessed with oneself, of trying to be a certain thing, gets in the way between you and Hashem. So Moshe says, I'll go in between you and Hashem. So Moshe says, I'll go in the middle, right? Moshe Rabbeinu's most outstanding trait is what? Is ich bin nisht, is anava. Why does Moshe say, I'll teach you how to be humble with Hashem, how to be mevatel yourself to Hashem? Moshe was not a loser. Moshe knew he was a big person. But he also had tremendous humility. He's anav mikol adam. And Moshe says, I understand that what? That you're concerned. Ki yireisim mipnei ha'esh v'lo alisim lahar lemur. I'll be the middleman, says Moshe Rabbeinu, because you're afraid of the fire. What does fire represent? Fire represents gaiva. Fire is the midah in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital that corresponds, and in the writings of the Baal Tanya that corresponds to gaiva. So Klal Yisrael said, we're afraid of the fire. So Moshe says, I'll teach you how to be an elevated person, how to stand on top of the mountain, and be extremely close to Hashem, and at the same time, to be the leader. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly stands out amongst Klal Yisrael, and yet at the same time, he's just one of the people. Moshe is able to somehow strike that balance between being totally detached, totally complicated. Klal Yisrael can't even look at him, he's wearing a mask on his face, because he's glowing so much. And yet Moshe being so much a part of the people, so connected to the people. So much so, that what was the Medrash the Piyaz Etzel Rebbe mentioned? That Moshe davened at the end of his life, I'm happy to be just a bird. You know what it's like for someone who led to become just a regular citizen again? Someone who was the president of the United States of America to now just be a regular person. When a president retires, he doesn't become just a regular rank and file member of society. Every time he gives a speech, he gets paid hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he's still involved in political affairs, and he's still writing books that are being published by big publishing houses. Right? You don't just like disappear, you don't step down and just become a totally regular person again. Moshe Rabbeinu, the testament of his unbelievable humility is that when Moshe realizes his time to lead Klal Yisrael is up, he says, Hashem, do you mind? Maybe I could go into Eretz Yisrael. Maybe let Yeshua take over. I'll just be a regular guy. I'll just be one member of Klal Yisrael. Not even on like a consulting committee. I'll just be... And Hashem says, no, that's not going to work, Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe says, you know what? Fine. Can I just be a bird? Can I not even be a person anymore? Let me be a bird. Take a look at this Medrash. It's a Medrash in source number 7. The Medrash in Devarim Rabbah. Ba'oshas Shah Amar Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a Medrash where? Devarim Rabbah Parsha Yud Aleph. What's this Medrash? Where is this Medrash? It's a Medrash in Parshas Va'eschanan, because Moshe davened 515 tefillos to Hashem. I want to go into Israel, and Hashem says, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe starts to negotiate. Okay, maybe I can't lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, but maybe I can go in a different way into Eretz Yisrael. At that moment, Moshe says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Im ein ata machnis osi l'Eretz Yisrael, heiniach osi b'olam hazeh ve'ech yivlo amus. Fine, you know what? Hashem, take everyone else into Eretz Yisrael, and I'll stay out here. You joking? Klal Yisrael, for 40 years we've been heading to Eretz Yisrael, and you've been making sure that we get there. And now Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know what, everyone else, if I'm not allowed to go in, everyone go in, I'll just stay on the outside. I'll stay on the other side of the, on the other side of the water, and I'll just... And what? Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the teacher of Klal Yisrael. You're going to be so bored. What are you going to do by yourself? Not even a minion of Jews? I'll stay, everyone go, you guys go ahead, I'll stay here. Just let me live, Hashem. For many people, they would rather be dead. A million times over. That to go from being the leader of Klal Yisrael, Hashem's right-hand man, Hashem's best friend, Kiviyachol, to being what? To being by yourself, stuck, watching regular people go into Eretz Yisrael to finally see the fulfillment of everything we've been longing for. Moshe says, yeah, that's fine, I'm okay with that. Amar Moshe l'vnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, no, that's not going to work. So Moshe says, let's try again. Ribono Shel Olam, Im ein ata machnis osi l'Eretz Yisrael, heiniach osi k'chayos hasadeh. Let me be like an animal in the wild, like Rabbi Nachman says, who's crying out to Hashem in the night. Now, whether Moshe is saying, let me be reincarnated as a wolf, let me be reincarnated as an animal, if Moshe is saying, let me lose my mind, let me go crazy and just be alive. To lose my koach hadibur. Moshe Rabbeinu, we know the Torah describes the end of his life. His vision is perfect. His mind is perfectly intact. His strength, full strength. So Moshe says, let me get old like everyone else. Let me get a little senile. Leave me in some nursing home on the other side of the Jordan. Hashem says, that's not going to work. Not going to work. Amar Lefanu, Ribono Shel Olam. If not, let me be like a bird. Can I be like a bird? Shu Poreach, two lines from the end. B'chol arba ruchas ha'olam, u'malakid mezono b'chol yom aleis erev chozer l'kano, l'keno. Let me be like a bird that flies around, finds a worm, and brings back dinner for its family. Let me be that. And Hashem says, Rav, no, Moshe, you're done. You're not doing any of those things. You're not even going to be a rock. I'm not going to reincarnate you as a piece of dust. Your mission is up, Moshe Rabbeinu. But this is what Moshe Rabbeinu wants. This is something. After being the Moshe Rabbeinu that he was, this would still be considered a something, to be a fly on the back of a cow in some big open field outside of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe says, yeah, I'll be that. That's unbelievable. But that's being with Hashem. That I'm happy to just be with Hashem. And Melocha L'Aretz Kavodu, Hashem is everywhere. And Hashem is with everyone. And Torah is not only for people who are Gedolim. Torah was given to the world. I'll tell you something from someone who obviously we would consider a Haredi Gadol, which sounds like a very modern, but very modernish thing to say. Okay? But you'll see why I'm bringing this. In the Sefer Divrei Agada from Rav Yashiv, printed Divrei Torah from Rav Yashiv, Rav Yashiv says something which is mefurish against the Gemara. And then Rav Yashiv, of all people, would say such a thing. It seems very strange. Seems like a person who's very loose about, you know, how they understand the role of Klal Yisrael versus the world would say such a thing. But listen to what Rav Yashiv says. Vayachanu b'midbar. This week's parsha. Vayachanu b'midbar. Says the Medrash. If the Torah would have been given in Eretz Yisrael, then the nations of the world would have said, we have nothing to do with the Torah. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that's exactly why I gave the Torah in no man's land. I gave the Torah where? In a midbar, a place that's for Hesia, in a makom hefker, that kol harotze lekabel, yavo v'yekabel. So, Chaver, how would you read this medrash in a from way? The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. It was given in the desert. And that way, if you want to convert to Judaism, you can come convert to Judaism. But if you remain someone from the nations of the world, Torah is not for you. But we left an opening, so we gave it in like a neutral territory, so that what? So that if you want to join us, you can join us. But if you don't join us, then Torah is not for you. And I can back that up very easily with the Gemara in Chagiga and the Gemara in Sanhedrin that talk about the prohibition of teaching Torah to Gentiles. Again, how exactly that works. Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaalpeh. How do we convert someone to Judaism? We have to teach them in order for them to convert. So how does that work? Okay, that's a halachic topic, not for now. But says Rav Yashiv. Says Rav Yashiv, you don't have to take that approach. Rav Yashiv says the Torah was given in the desert because the Torah was given to the world. Yes, Lima Torah, there are halachos, you can't teach Torah to non-Jews. Exactly how that works and exactly why that is. The Gemara says, Torah Tziva Lanu Morasha, it's Mi'urasa, it's like a marriage. You can't get married as a group. Right? It's husband and wife. You can't take a third person into that relationship. So there's an absolute relationship. Hashem married Klal Yisrael to the exclusion of all others. But the Medrash is telling us that Hashem gave the Torah in a makom hefker so that the Umas HaOlam shouldn't feel ein lachem chelak ba, that we don't have a hand in this. Says Rav Yashiv, aval Torah nitna b'midbar kedei she'Umas HaOlam lo yit'anu lanu ein chelak ba, so that the Umas HaOlam shouldn't claim we don't have a chelak in Torah. HaTorah, listen to this word, this line. HaTorah hi kinyan l'chol ha'olam. Torah was given to the whole world. So you think, you Baal Gaiva, you think you have more of a chelik in Torah. Because what? Because you're learning Kedushin and the blade of grass is not, so you think you're better than a blade of grass, you're better Eved Hashem. The blade of grass is probably more honest and sincere when it sings its praises to Hashem blowing in the wind than you are when you go and daven shachris. So Torah was given to the whole world. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'll be a bird. I'll be a blade of grass. I'll be a rock. I'll be a senile old person, Rachman Litzlan, you know, left to just kind of sit around in an old age home. Moshe says, I want to be a part of Hashem's world. Because Hashem's presence is found in this world. And the Umas HaOlam have a chelek in the world. And every bit of the Bria has a chelek in Hashem's Torah. And that's what we need to do. We have to get rid of that sense of Anochi. That's Omid, the Pasuk says again, Anochi Omid bin Hashem uveinecha. That sense of self, that self-absorbed state that gets in the way of our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's 10 o'clock. We have to make a decision now. Maybe what we'll do is we'll save, hang on to the sheets. Let me just show you what you have in front of you. You have The next two pages are from the Sefer Derech HaMelech from the Piyaz Etzner. The Sefer Derech HaMelech, in the back of the Derech HaMelech from the Piyaz Etzner, there's a piece called Inyan Hashgata, the matter of inner silence, which is very connected to what we're talking about. It's written by a Talmud of the Piyaz Etzner, describing a first-hand encounter with the Piyaz Etzner Rebbe and how he taught him how to quiet yourself down to just be with Hashem. And we also have to look at Os Memches in Tzav Aziras. And I also want to introduce you to the Sefer that I have here, which was originally published in 1921 in Lashon HaKodesh, called Tnai HaNefesh LaSagas HaChasidus. Tnai HaNefesh, Conditions of the Soul to Attain Hasidic Thinking and Living. In English, it's called Visions of a Compassionate World, Guided Imagery for Spiritual Growth and Social Transformation. It's an amazing, amazing book. And it helps us to meditate upon some of these ideas. So it's too much to try to rush. I don't want to rush. I want to learn Megillah today. So let's stop here. Monday, Mir Tzashem, we'll learn Os Memches, we'll learn that piece from the back of Derech HaMelech, and we'll learn some of the meditative techniques that he has in the Sefer. Okay? Okay, go ahead.